I'm Joe Wood, and I believe.
March 13th, 1997, Phoenix, Arizona. Thousands of people report seeing a large V-shaped formation covered in bright lights. Dr. Lynn Kitai is out taking an evening walk to clear her mind. It's been a busy day. She's mulling over an idea when she notices what she later described as a mile-wide formation of bright orbs. Once again, authorities say there was an earthly explanation, citing the fact that there were several U.S. Air Force bases in the area and claim it was simply flares. But to Dr. Kitai, this doesn't make sense. How can flares keep formation, traverse an entire state for hours in a rock-solid V? Another witness is the actor Kurt Russell, who later told the BBC's One Show, "I'm going to declare it unidentified. It's flying. And it's six objects." The mystery continues to this day, but not to Dr. Kitai and others who saw it.
Welcome to Alien Nation, the ongoing series about extraterrestrials and UFOs, which asks the question, are we alone? I'll be talking to celebrities and everyday people who also believe and have their own incredible stories to share. We'll talk about well-documented cases, we'll examine the theories and the counter-theories, but mostly we'll just share our own personal experiences together. So get in touch with your own stories. I'll tell you how to do that at the end of the show. I'm here today with the wonderful Sean Ryder. He used to be in Happy Mondays, right?
Yeah.
I met Sean in the 90s.
In the 90s, yeah.
And I'll have to get my memory back on that.
Well, yeah. I've still not got my memory back from the 90s. I can remember the 1960s better than the 1990s, and I was eight when the 60s ended.
Sean is a great believer, so he's come here today to talk to me about his experiences with UFOs and aliens. So, Sean, what I need to know is, when did you first start believing in aliens?
Well, believing in aliens, I don't think there was ever a time when I didn't believe that there wasn't just us in the universe. You know, from, oh, God, I mean, first starting having memories of anything, I must have been about 3 years old, and knowing from then that we wasn't alone in the universe. But when I first sort of came across aliens, yeah, and everything else, I was 15 years old. I was on my way to work. I was a messenger boy at the post office. We used to deliver death telegrams and telegrams telling people that they had to go into work because we didn't have any mobile phones or anything then. And I was going to the bus stop one morning. It was about 7 o'clock in the morning, and there was another little kid who was on his way to grammar school, and we sort of looked up in the sky, and this thing was zigzagging. This was around about 1978. So I was 15 years old, and this thing was going across, zigzag, the sort of typical zigzag, very quick, up and down, left to right, you know, in big Z formations, and then it stayed stationary for a couple of seconds, and then it zigzagged again and shot off. And I looked at this little kid, and this kid looked at me, and we didn't speak, but we knew, you know, that
nothing like we'd see normally.
Yeah, yeah. And certainly, maybe if you saw something like that now, you could probably think, well, maybe it could be one of ours, you know, some secret project. But certainly in 1978, I don't think, you know, we had, you know, anything like that then.
Yeah. No, I absolutely agree. Well, I didn't see my sighting until the 2000s, and the way it moves is just nothing like we know on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I think, gosh, we'd be pretty selfish to think we were the only people in the universe.
Yeah, yeah.
Why do you think that they hold it back from us then? Why do you think the government doesn't say, yes, this is true, there are beings out there and they do visit us? Why do you think they...
Well, I mean, it really does panic people, even today, you know. I mean, young people are really sort of open, and, you know, you ask any young kid, is there life? Yeah, of course there's life in other parts of the universe, whether, you know, it's got to us or not, but there definitely is, and their whole outlook is totally different. But there's a certain people, it frightens them to death. I mean, we know from the old Orson Welles sort of thing, going back in the day, what
happens. People get so frightened so quickly.
Frightened to death, yeah.
Yeah, you see, I don't think I'd be frightened at all. I'd be really eager to sort of say, welcome to our home, that kind of thing. Mm. But I suppose if it was a reptilian, I would be a bit scared to look at him.
Yes, I mean, it's always the same with sort of people's instincts as well. You know, it's like anything sort of surprising happens to anybody and straight away, they don't naturally think it's a good thing. You know, their natural instincts is to think something's bad or wrong. You know, that's how us as creatures sort of tend to think.
You did a programme about UFOs and aliens, didn't you?
Yeah.
Did you go to the Nazca Lines?
Yeah, we went to Chile and parts of South America. I mean, and what I found there as well was, you know, especially in South America, the military over there was really welcoming. Like, you know, in England, straight away they cut you off and they don't want to know. I mean, those guys was really welcoming and they'd share all their information with us and they'd be really open. And even open on camera to say things like, you know, yes, we know we're not alone in the universe, this is what I think. But there was still this sort of thing where as soon as we'd stop rolling, they would say things off camera that they wouldn't say on it. You know, where basically they've got a lot of information there that is from not of this world. And
isn't that mad?
It's
mad.
Same with the scientists as well and the physicists. You know, they was the same.
I was thinking the other day, maybe it's something between Russia and America. They're both fighting for more knowledge about how to make these crafts and this and that. So there's a little bit of a battle. That's the real battle going on, the space battle.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's been going on for a long time. I think after the Cold War was really about that. You know, the sort of the BS that was going on that he was covering up in the 50s as the Cold War wasn't really about, you know, what we generally think it was about. I'm sure there was a lot going on about alien technology that we've had for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, reverse engineering. I mean, if you look at some of the books that have been written about all these guys who are admirals and high-ranking military officers, and, you know, they're basically coming out, you know, with stories about back engineering and everything else and bodies at Roswell. And these guys are high-ranking military people, and they now, towards the end of their life, or the, you know, the sort of secrecy contracts have run out, and they're all, you know...
They're all opening up.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had our own Roswell, didn't we? Was it called Rendlesham?
Yeah, Rendlesham.
Rendlesham. And they've talked about the sighting there, and you can even hear the recordings that they made, you know. There's something going on here. They're all getting scared. Even those tough guys are getting scared.
But, you know, they are here, and they've been here for a long time.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think a lot of things like the pyramids... I'm fascinated about the pyramids. They were never tombs. They were generators, you know, and I think that, you know, they've been here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, if you look how the pyramids are made, I mean, we've now got scientists that are on that saying that the brick was cut with, you know...
Lasers
and all such stuff that is just impossible to have been cut by anything else.
On your programme, did you meet any abductees?
I did. I met Travis Walton.
Travis Walton, oh.
Travis from the Fire in the Sky... You know, when he was the logging guys.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys as well, their story did not change. They wasn't particularly great friends, you know, or anything. They worked together. And all those guys, I think there's about 10 of them, their story never faltered, you know, from day one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I love the story about Barney and Betty in the 50s. And I mean, back then, nobody heard of abduction, yet when they were put under hypnosis, they came out with this extraordinary story and everybody must have thought they were completely mad. Mm. Yeah, but to the day they died, they said, this is what happened. I always wonder why they abduct them. Is it to get our DNA? Maybe it is. To make them pregnant, to have hybrids?
Yeah, I mean, you know, who knows? There's probably a lot of different reasons why. DNA or whatever, yeah.
So you saw your first UFO when you were a kid and then you've seen any more?
Well, about 2 years later, I seen, again, I'm stood at a bus stop. I always see things at bus stops, you know. I'm stood at a bus stop in the late 70s or very early 80s. And now what I saw from YouTube now where there's literally hundreds and hundreds of lights all moving, you know, really slow going across the skies. I mean, that was the sort of second thing I saw. And I mean, you know, the more you sort of, you can have sort of one thing, and then when you're getting into like three or four sightings, you know, it's like, oh God, this dude's just making it all up. You know what I mean? Are you crazy? Yeah. But yeah, and then continuously from that, I mean, while I was making a TV show, I wake up at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I sleep with the curtains open, the blinds open. And it's a beautiful sunny morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, and I look out at my bedroom window, and there's just over my apple tree, which goes about 30 foot high, just over the apple tree was this craft, which looked like an Lego, or I should say an Airfix model, a grey Airfix model of about 20, 30 foot by 10, 15 foot. And I think it's production playing a joke. You know, I think production have mocked up something.
And they
You know, and they've got this Airfix model thing going on. And this is over my apple tree in the back garden, and it's surrounded by cloud.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And basically, these things make cloud.
Yeah.
And sort of the cloud, it starts moving really, really slow. And as it's moving away from me, it's making more and more cloud, which starts to cover, you know, the craft. The sort of land that I've got at the back of my house is about the size of a football pitch. Yeah. So it moves across the sort of grass there, really, really slow, and then being covered by more and more cloud till it sort of, you couldn't see it anymore.
Yeah.
That happened while I was filming the show. My wife was in bed asleep next to me. I'm thinking, do I wake her up? Joe, look at this. Come on, look at this going on or whatever. So I just left her asleep because I thought she's going to go kick off big time at me for waking her up. So I left her asleep and just watched this thing.
Yeah.
And then since then, other sort of lunatic things, like I wake up one morning.
Yeah.
And there's this thing that looks like, all I can describe it as, is like a spider. And it's moving across the windowsill. And it's got, like, red lights going across its back.
Yeah.
And it's got six legs like a spider. And it's...
How big was it?
About this big.
Hand size?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. You know, 5 or 6 inches long.
Yeah.
And makes absolutely no noise whatsoever. And then it goes to the windowies, and it just sort of, like, I can say, like an aerial comes up. And then it goes up to the window...
Yeah.
And it's on where the window's open, and then it then changes shape and sort of dives off, and then as it's moving out, it completely disappeared.
Oh, my God.
So as it goes, and this, obviously, it sounds like I'm making it all up and it's all a load of bollocks, but...
No, once I was on a plane going over South America again, and my son was behind me, we were on a tour plane, and we both were looking out the window, we were 35,000 feet, something like that, and this green orb... came right up to the plane, right near the window outside, moved along, we were looking like, the Ty was behind me, moved along, came back, moved along, and then went under the wing and gone. Mm. I went, Ty, did you see that? And he went, yeah, Mum, what was it? He was about 16. Mum, what was that? What was that? I said, I have no bloody idea, mm-hmm. but it wasn't from this world. So we tried to tell everybody, Mick, what did you see that? And Mick said, are you all right, Joe? I said, yeah, yeah, I promise you. We just saw something out by the wing coming up and down. It was green and it was like moving. And they all thought we were completely mad.
Yeah. You know, I think once they start fucking about with you, they just don't leave you alone.
Yeah.
You know, I find a lot of people, it's not like I've actually spoke to these people, but they get really angry with it, or they find it an invasion of their privacy, or, you know, these things are fucking about with me, and they get really, really angry. And I just don't, you know.
I think if you are aware of it, I mean, I was looking at the sky, you know, I want to see more evidence all the time. And I think if you are aware of it and you are open to it, I think you're more likely to see it. Mm. Otherwise, people keep their head down and, you know, I saw something in LA once which was just like in the sky, just circled, you know, twizzled, 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 twizzled. Yeah. And everybody was standing, staring in it. I thought, that is from somewhere else. That's making that yeah. in the sky. So I think if you're aware of it, you're more likely to see this. But it looks like, it seems like that they're hanging out with
I,
you.
Again, with me, it's like if you tuned in, you know, I mean, if you look what the brain is, you know, it's like tuning you into different radio signals, like you tune in on a radio and get, you know, radio yeah. one or two or whatever. You know, I think that's where the brain is, you know, and if you're tuned in with the signals, then yeah. you're tuned in.
I'm desperate to go to Pumapunku.
Where's that?
That's in Peru.
Oh, I did Peru.
There's a place called Pumapunku, which is 12,000 feet up, and it's like a city that they say is thousands upon thousands of years old that has just been demolished, and all the stones are cut in an H shape, and they're massive, and they can't work out why so many massive, perfectly lasered, H-shaped stones are there, and mm-hmm. why? Yeah. And I think it was just a city that said, right, we're out of here, let's go back yeah. to wherever. But I find the whole thing so fascinating. I just want to quick swirl around the Earth in a spaceship. That's yeah. all I want.
Certainly, they're here, and they've been here for a long time.
Yeah.
And I don't think, really, there's really anything to worry about, really.
If there was anything to worry about, we would have known it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely,
before.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming in and talking to me, Sean. It's
Thank
so
you.
Nice to see you again.
Cheers.
And have a wonderful tour. I used to love going on tour.
Yeah, I actually like it better than ever now. You know, I mean, I don't know why it took me so long to discover that I don't have to be off my face. I can sort of deal with it, you know, just by eating vegetables.
Yeah, be a vegan on tour.
Well, yeah, I mean, I am. Yeah, I mean, actually, I'm a pescatarian,
yeah.
me.
Cause yeah, I'm a pescatarian.
I still have my fish.
Yeah, me too. I'm like that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's good to have a bit of fish.
Yeah.
And I think it's better for the planet not to be eating meat.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I think it's really important. It's really important we clean up the planet. And I think by choosing the right food to eat, you know, those aliens out there have got to be proud of us, see what we're doing. Mm. We need to be changing the way
yeah.
we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's it then, Sean.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks for having me.
It's so good for you to come in. Thank you so much. It was great.
Thank you.
That's our show for today. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please rate us on whatever platform you get your podcast from. It helps people like you find us. Today's show was produced by Mike Hansen for Pod People Productions. Associate producer Colette Cooper, and recorded at Hackenbacker Studios by Oliver Briley. Theme music by Mike Hansen and Jamie Allen. Special thanks to Nigel Heath and our narrator, Mike Hansen Sr. If you want to share your stories, we'd love to hear from you. Just email info@podpeopleproductions.co.uk, subject matter, Alien Nation. Beam me up next time. I'm Jo Wood. And I believe. Pod People.